One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
You're with SBS Radio.
Whatamoolie and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Hey, great to be here, sis. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back again for this week. Now, first cab off the rank today. Apparently trees help our young minds grow. How so, sis?
Yeah, so being around trees every day is great for brain development and mental health, particularly in young people. And this is according to Aussie researchers who looked at long-term data from kids at 31 different schools. And they looked at the effect of green spaces, which is what they've called woodlands and grasslands, and blue spaces, which is lakes and rivers and reservoirs. Mm. They looked at the effect of these places on brain development and mental health and just overall well-being of kids aged 9 to 15 in particular. And they found higher daily exposure to woodland in particular was associated with higher scores for brain development and a lower risk of emotional and behaviour problems for young people. And they also found a similar but slightly smaller effect for green space as a whole, so including the grasslands. But they didn't see the same effect for blue spaces, which I found really interesting because I always find going and sitting by the river helps, you know, put me at ease and put me in a better headspace. But hey, maybe that's just me. But these researchers, they say that these results, they could help better urban planning to improve development and health of young minds that are in city areas, living in urban areas and not able to, you know, get out on country and take their shoes off in the dirt for a while.
Gotta love that. Trees helping our young minds to grow. Now we go to talking about feral cats. And to find them, we could turn to their nemesis for help. Can you tell me more about this story today, Sis?
Yeah, so when I talk about a feral cat's nemesis, I'm talking about dogs and their super-powered sense of smell. It could be the key to monitoring feral cats, particularly in Western Australia's wheat belt. And the scientists that were involved in this study were looking at Tattannang Nature Reserve, and they put dogs to the test there. They scattered cat poo in the woodlands for the animals to track. And when it was nice and fresh, they were able to locate it from up to 50 metres away. They just zeroed in on it and off they went. And they believe that dogs could help keep an eye on feral cat numbers in the region as part of an effort to control the population. You know, we all know what problems feral cats can be, particularly for wildlife, and this could be part of the solution. Get cats to track them, get dogs to track them down.
Get them dog trackers onto the case by the sounds of it, sis. I like that story for today. Now we go from talking about dogs and cats on our science and technology segment this week to talking about stopping the illegal trade of Aussie lizards, which is such a concerning story to hear about.
Yeah, and this is a big one as well. You know, Australian reptiles, they face serious conservation threats from illegal poaching, which is fueled by international demand and the exotic pet trade overseas. So researchers from the University of Adelaide, they looked at the extent of illegal trade in a well-known lizard, the shingleback, also known as the bobtail or the sleepy lizard. And they used a whole bunch of government records and media reports and online ads, and they found really clear evidence that many shinglebacks have been illegally poached from the wild and are smuggled overseas to be traded as pets. Now, shinglebacks, they are a protected species in Australia, and they can only be exported legally under a federal permit, but there's no regulation of international trade once they've been smuggled out of the country. So this is a really major loophole that's been highlighted in this research, and it's being exploited. So in this study, the researchers, they found all four subspecies of the shingleback lizard are in trade across Asia and Europe and North America. And this includes a threatened subspecies that's only found on Rottnest Island as well. Now, protecting the shinglebacks and closing this loophole in the law, the researchers say that they need to be listed on the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, which is a mouthful. It's also known as CITES. Mm-hmm. And this gives other countries the legal means to confiscate them. It gives those countries the power to do that, which they don't have currently. So I think something that listeners can do is to contact their local member of parliament and to ask them to have the Australian shinglebacks put on the sites, and then we can all help protect them when they're overseas.
Such an important topic to talk about on our science and technology segment today, the illegal trade to stop it of Aussie lizards. I understand they can fetch big money from overseas, these people who illegally trade them, Sis.
Oh, absolutely. They're making so much money off our native species, and you know, this is what fuels it. You know, people are willing to pay big prices for our native animals, so it's worth the risk for people to try to get them out of the country illegally. And we just need to be able to protect them on the other side when they land, get them sent back over.
Now we go from yarning about Aussie lizards to talking about caffeine, and apparently it cuts close to the bone when it comes to osteoporosis. Now, I'm not sure what you're going to tell me here, Sis. I don't mind an espresso or two in my daytime. What are you going to tell us about this story?
Look, an espresso or two might be okay, but an espresso or eight might be a problem.
Just okay.
Putting it out there. So, this is from the University of South Australia, this research, and they've found that, yeah, excess caffeine may be linked to an increased risk of osteoporosis. And so they looked at the effects of coffee on how kidneys regulate calcium in the body. And they found that high doses of caffeine, so we're talking 800 milligrams consumed over about a six-hour period, almost doubled the amount of calcium lost in the urine. And the average daily intake of caffeine is around 200 milligrams, so about two cups of coffee. So, yeah, drinking eight cups of coffee, it might seem a lot, but there are people that do this and fall into this category. And it's really important for people to understand the impacts of what this caffeine can have. It's, you know, one of the most widely used recreational drugs in the world. About 80% of adults are having at least one coffee a day. And osteoporosis is a really, really debilitating disease. It's chronic and it's painful, and it makes your bones less dense and more likely to fracture. It's more common in women. And reducing the amount of calcium that we have in our bodies, you know, obviously is a big contributor to osteoporosis. So from here, researchers are going to do a little bit more exploration and prediction of the impact of different levels of caffeine, both short and long term, on bone health. And they're hoping to come up with some dietary guidelines in Australia so that we know once and for all how much coffee we're allowed to be drinking a day, because reports are all over the place, Sis, and I'm always confused about how much I should be having. Maybe two in a push.
Rae Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist, thanks so much for joining us on NITV Radio today for our regular science and technology segment. It's been an absolute pleasure, as it is each week, Sis. Thanks.
Anytime.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.